All right, get ready to dive into a question that's been around forever. Like, what does it even mean to be? And lucky for us, we've got Aquinas, Aristotle, and Whitehead to help us unpack it all. They've got these seriously dense philosophical writings, but we're going to break down the good stuff, make it crystal clear.
It really is fascinating, you know? They take this question, it seems so simple at first, what does it mean to be? And then bam, they show you just how much is hidden underneath.
Seriously. I mean, we use the word being all the time. Don't even think about it, right? But Aquinas, he's like, hold on, there are two whole ways we can think about this being thing. Uses a dog to show us.
Yeah,
You
exactly.
want to take us through it?
Sure. Aquinas says there's the everyday way we use being, talking about anything that exists. Like, boom, there's a dog. But then he's like, there's this other level, this being that's like the core, the essence of what makes that dog a dog. Not a cat, not a tree, a dog.
So there's dog, like the general idea, and then there's this specific dog right here with all its weirdness.
Ah, bingo. Aquinas is getting at the difference between real being, the actual essence of a thing, and then there's this being of reason, which is how our brains sort and understand, everything around us.
Okay, I'm with you.
He's saying sometimes the labels we slap on things don't quite match up with what they really
And
are.
then he uses that example, the tall
Yeah,
musician
we
that
saw
show how our descriptions can be like a little misdirected.
that's the one. Picture this. You're describing someone as a tall musician. Now, being tall, that's just chance. Doesn't define what it means to be that musician, their music, that's closer to their core. Aquinas is making us think, how do we define things? Look beyond the surface,
It does make you wonder if our descriptions are kind of random, are we ever really getting at the essence of a thing? So Aquinas wants to look deeper. Now, Aristotle, what about his famous forms?
Aristotle, he was positive about this. What we see in the physical world, it's like a bad copy, Just a reflection of a deeper reality that never changes, called these blueprints forms.
So there's a perfect, ideal version of everything out there somewhere, beyond what we can see or touch.
Exactly. Like imagine baking. You've got your recipe for the perfect chocolate chip cookie. That's your form, your Aristotle form. Even if your actual cookies come out a little different every time, the recipe, that form, it stays the same. It's the blueprint.
So even if we mess up those cookies, the idea of them, that perfect form, it's still out there. And that's what a chocolate chip cookie really is, more than whatever we pull out of the oven.
Precisely. For Aristotle, those forms, that's the essence, the real deal that makes something what it is. And he thought if we could grasp those forms, we could finally understand being, in its purest form.
Interesting.
He saw our world always changing, but the forms, they were constant,
So
timeless.
forms are like these anchors of reality for Aristotle. But where does Whitehead fit in? He had a different take, didn't he?
So Aristotle, he found stability in those unchanging forms, but Whitehead, he flips the script. Change, real change, that's fundamental for him. He's got this idea of actual entities. Think of them like building blocks for everything. But they're always shifting, always becoming something new.
Okay, so Aristotle's all about the eternal, never-changing stuff. Whitehead's focused on the constantly changing nature of, well, everything. Feels like going from a photograph to a movie.
That's a great way to put it. It really is. It's like we're shifting from a universe where things are just there to a universe where everything's always becoming something else. And just like Aristotle had his forms, Whitehead's got his eternal objects.
All right, so what are these eternal objects then? Are they like Aristotle's forms or something else entirely?
Well, they both exist kind of outside of our immediate experience, but instead of being these fixed blueprints, Whitehead's eternal objects are more like possibilities, Imagine the alphabet. The letters, they don't change, but you can use them to create endless words, sentences, stories, you name it.
I see. So they're not like predetermined outcomes, but ingredients for all these potential experiences.
Exactly. And this is where those actual entities come back in. Remember those ever-changing building blocks? Whitehead says they take these eternal objects, these possibilities, and weave them into our experiences.
So it's this constant back and forth between what could be and what is, with these actual entities pulling from this well of eternal objects. It's a lot more dynamic than how we usually picture reality.
For sure. And here's what's even cooler. Whitehead includes our minds in all of this. Our experiences, thoughts, feelings, they're all part of this dance between the actual and the possible.
You know, that makes me think about something we talked about earlier, the power of language. Aquinas was saying how the words we use shape how we understand being, and even Aristotle's forms are tied to language and definitions. Does Whitehead deal with that too?
Oh, absolutely. All three of them knew that words could be tricky. They can shed light, but they can also mislead you. They knew that words like being, one, form, they have layers of meaning. They were really careful about how they use them.
Makes sense why their writing can feel so dense. Sometimes they're wrestling with these huge ideas and trying to be so precise.
Exactly. And the great thing about philosophy is that it's not just an intellectual game. It changes how we see ourselves and the world.
You know, when we started talking about being, it seemed kind of abstract. But after listening to Aquinas, Aristotle, and Whitehead, it's clear this isn't just some philosophical debate. It's about how we live, how we see ourselves in the universe, even how we connect with each other.
Totally. Whether we're aware of it or not, we're constantly defining what being means, both for ourselves and everything around us. And these philosophers, they give us new ways of looking at this big, constantly changing question.
It's like we've got these new lenses and everything's a little sharper, a little more complex now. But all this talk about being has also brought up a whole new set of questions, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. It seems like every time we peel back a layer of this being thing, we find even more interesting questions underneath. And speaking of questions, I think it's time we left our listeners with a big one. We've been talking about how Aristotle and Whitehead, they both thought reality is all about change, right? Everything's always in motion. But what about us? You feel like the same you as you were yesterday, yeah, even years ago.
Definitely. I mean, I've learned things, changed things about myself over time, but it feels like there's still this core me that's been there all along. So if everything's always shifting, like these philosophers say, what does that mean for that feeling? Is it all in our heads?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Is this me thing just a story our minds make up, you know, to make sense of a world where everything's moving and changing all the time? Or is there something more to it, something that lasts even if everything around us, our bodies included, are in constant flux?
It's kind of mind-blowing if you think about it like that. If everything keeps changing, where is that unchanging me even located? Makes you really think about what it means to be a person, to have an identity that lasts over time.
And that's the beauty of philosophy, don't you think? Doesn't always give you the easy answers, but it helps you ask the really big questions. Challenge what you think you know, and maybe see the world in a whole new way.
Absolutely. So to everyone listening, we're going to leave you with that question. What does it mean for you to be in a world that never sits still? Maybe this deep dive gave you some new ways to think about it, even if we didn't wrap it all up in a neat package. Because really, that's where the real thinking starts.
Exactly. Don't stop wondering about this stuff. Sometimes the journey is more important than the destination.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into being. We'll see you next time when we take a look at another fascinating corner of the world of ideas.